תפילת החברים. בורא אהוב, בהתכנסות זו אנו מבקשים להגיע.
Prayer of the friends. Beloved Creator, in this gathering we seek to reach a connection between us so that every spark in our hearts will be ignited and together they will form a great flame that will burn the transgressions that appear along the way. We ask to feel your presence among us and that you will cover us together with love, brotherhood, and friendship, and thus the judgments will be sweetened and mercy will be revealed in the world. We ask that our vessel will be suitable and ready for the coming Congress. Help us make the Congress a success in order to bring you contentment.
The cup of blessing should be full in the work. It should be full with prayer, with our expectations, with a deficiency that we have reached being opposite the Creator. And then this whole preparation in our heart, it is called a cup of blessing, that we ask for the blessing that the Creator will transform us, will change our heart, so that instead of thoughts and desires that are in order to receive, he will invert it to be in order to bestow through everyone else to him, to the Creator. This is called that the cup of blessing is full. That when we bless him in such a way and we thank him for creating us with this cruel, opaque will to receive, blocked will to receive, but nevertheless he gave us the possibility to actually invert it, to be in order to bestow to the opposite.
So,
we understand this change that we have to make. And we are grateful to him for giving us the possibility to be incorporated with these two opposite forms, our ego, reception, and bestowal. So that by connecting the two of them, we will be close to the Creator, like the Creator, we will rise to him. We will reach a state where we understand and feel and truly become like him. This is why before we begin to enter a contact with the Creator, we need to feel where we truly exist. And why did he create us in such a way? And what is it that we have to do in order to invert ourselves to resemble him? And that specifically from these two forms, we will be as created beings on the one hand and as the Creator on the other hand. This is how we will reach our complete correction.
כן.
אמר, מהו כוס של ברכה צריך להיות מלא בעבודה?
Article, what is a cup of blessing must be full in the work? It is written in the Zohar, full, which is said regarding a cup of blessing, is, as it is written, a cup of full of the blessing of the Lord. So a man should be whole, as it is written, and Jacob came whole. There must not be any flaw in it. For all that has a blemish will not approach. Likewise, the letters Aleph Lamed Mem, mute, with Yud He are the letters of Elohim, are as the count of cup, namely 86. For this reason, the cup must be full, for if you reverse the word Ilem, you will find Male, full, for the word cup in Gematria is full, Yud He. We should understand the following. One, what does it imply that when wine is poured into a cup and it is full, it is called a cup full of the blessing of the Creator? This means that if the cup is not filled with wine, the blessing of the Creator cannot be. Two, why does it say, so a man should be whole, like the cup with the wine? What does it add to us by this? After all, if the cup is already filled with the blessing of the Creator, why does man also need to be like that? Implying that otherwise he cannot receive the blessing. Therefore, with regard to whom is the cup called blessing of the Creator? Does the cup need the blessing? Three, the most perplexing is what he says, that man should be whole. As it is written, all that has a blemish will not approach. This implies that one who has a flaw can no longer approach the Creator. This means that one who is missing a limb can no longer approach the Creator and must stay far from the Creator and has no freedom of choice. Four. What does it imply that he says Ilem and Male are the same letters? That a cup in Gematria is Male Yudhei, filled with the Creator. To understand all the above, we must remember the whole order of the work that we were given to do, as it is written, which God has created to do. We said several times that there are two opposite discernments before us, which are called one, the purpose of creation, which is his desire to do good to his creations, meaning for the creatures to receive delight and pleasure. Two, the correction of creation, for the creatures to strive to bestow upon the Creator so he will enjoy. That is, the will to receive for oneself wants to enjoy, and the Creator gave him this desire. But he relinquishes this desire and wants only for the Creator to enjoy. It follows that the two are opposites. Hence, it is hard work to achieve such a desire called desire to bestow contentment upon one's maker and relinquish the desire for self-benefit. In order to be able to emerge from the control of the will to receive, we must begin in lo lishma, meaning for our own benefit. In other words, by observing Torah and Mitzvot, he will be rewarded in this world, as it is written in the Zohar, that he will have life, health, and sustenance. Otherwise, he will not be able to enjoy the corporeal life in this world. When a person believes this, he has someone who compels him to observe the Torah and Mitzvot. This is called believing in reward and punishment, meaning that he observes Torah and Mitzvot because he is afraid of punishment and expects to receive reward. Sometimes the reward and punishment are expressed in a person as reward and punishment in the next world, where there are the Garden of Eden and Hell. And this is the reason compelling him to observe Torah and Mitzvot. And since from Lo Lishma we come to Lishma, meaning that the light in the Torah illuminates to him that there is a different manner of reward and punishment, where the reward is to be rewarded with Dvikut, with the Creator. At that time, he can feel the greatness of the King, and this is the reward he expects. And he regards as punishment when he sees and feels that he is separated from the life of lives and that he is far from the Creator. This to him is the biggest punishment. It follows that even when a person already has some sensation of Torah and Mitzvot, which the Lo Lishma has caused him, when sometimes he begins to feel a little bit of the greatness of the Creator, this causes him to want to annul before him as a candle before a torch. At that time, a person cannot understand why he wants to annul before him now and annul all of his own reality before the Creator. Rather, this comes to him as though it is a natural thing, meaning that even though he does not understand what is being done with him now, that he wants to annul, but in reality, so it is. This is called an awakening from above, where a person's hand does not touch. Hand means attainment, from the words, when a hand attains, meaning that a person does not understand why he wants to completely annul before him. However, later, when the awakening departs from him, a person begins to yearn to achieve annulment before the Creator and wants to obtain the feeling he had while in ascent. But now he begins to see how far he is from this, and all his organs resist such ideas as annulling self-benefit, and that all his concerns will be how to bring contentment to his Maker. At that time he sees that the world has grown dark on him. He cannot find a place from which to receive vitality. And then he sees that he is in a state of descent and lowliness. When he comes to such a descent, he sees that no one has such bad thoughts. However, one should believe in the sages that such thoughts come from above, meaning that from above, they want this person who now wants to approach the Creator to suffer descents, because by having descents, he will feel the need for the Creator to lift him. This is as it is written, he lifts the indignant from the trash. That is precisely when he feels that he's in the trash, meaning that all those things that he regarded as trash, as animal food, who eat the waste that people throw in the trash, and of which they say that it is food that is unfit for human consumption, as he himself says during an ascent. But now that the Creator wants to bring him closer, a person should feel his lack, and then he can receive a filling for the lack. It follows that precisely when a person is in the trash and from there searches for his food, when he sees to what state he has come after all the labor he has given in order to obtain the desire to bestow contentment upon his Maker, then he can make an earnest prayer. Yet a person does not always have the strength to believe. However, when a person is already standing near the place from which he will receive the help from above, and near means that the kli, vessel, meaning the desire to bestow, is far away from him, then he sees that only the Creator can save him. As Baal Sulam said, this is the most important point in man's work. For then he has close contact with the Creator, because he sees 100% that nothing can help him but the Creator himself. Although he believes this, still, this faith does not always illuminate for him that specifically now is the best time to receive the salvation of the Creator. That specifically now he can be saved and the Creator will bring him closer. Meaning, given the desire to bestow and emerge from the control of self-love, which is called Exodus from Egypt. In other words, he comes out of the control of the Egyptians who afflicted Israel and did not let them do the holy work. And the children of Israel sighed from the work, and their cry rose up to God. And then the Creator brought them out from the exile in Egypt. In other words, since the people of Israel felt the enslavement and wanted to escape from this exile that the Egyptians were enslaving them, when they came to this important point of feeling their lowliness, the Creator brought them out of Egypt. This is as the Ari says, that when the people of Israel were in Egypt, they were already in 49 gates of Tumah, impurity, and then the Creator brought them out of Egypt. This means that they already came to the worst lowliness, the lowest that can be. And then the Creator brought them out. It follows that when a person sees that he is in utter lowliness, he should believe that specifically now is the time when the Creator will bring him closer. And if the faith does not shine for him then, on the spot, he escapes the campaign. It follows that the whole order of the labor that he has given is seemingly for nothing, but later he is given another awakening from above. And once again he forgets what he had during the descent, and thinks once more that he will no longer have descents, and so on, repeatedly. A person needs great mercy in order to not escape the campaign. Although he uses the counsels that our sages said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice, but the person says that he has already used this advice several times to no avail.
He also says that he has already used the advice, he who comes to purify is aided. And it is as though all the counsels are not for him. Thus, he does not know what to do. This is the worst state for a person, meaning he wants to escape from these states, but has nowhere to run. At that time, he suffers torments at being between despair and confidence. But then the person says, where will I turn? At that time, the only advice is prayer. Yet this prayer is also without any guarantee. So it follows that then he must pray to believe that the Creator does hear a prayer. And everything that one feels in these states is to his benefit. But this can be only above reason. Meaning, although the mind tells him, after all the calculations, you see that nothing can help you. He should believe this too, above reason, that the Creator can deliver him from the will to receive for himself, in return for which he will receive the will to bestow. Then, when a person receives from the Creator the will to bestow, he becomes whole with the Creator. Meaning that he has been rewarded with equivalence of form, which is called unification. At that time, the person is considered as having no blemish, since all of man's blemishes are that he has bad thoughts about spirituality. That is, in self feeling the importance of Kedusha, holiness, that it is something very important when he wants to annul before him, when he has love of the Creator, because of the yearning for the Creator, to him it is the opposite. That is, he feels the resistance of the body. All this comes for lack of faith in the greatness of the Creator. And how can he approach the Creator with the blemishes he has within him? This is the meaning of what we asked. How did they say that one who has a blemish shall not approach? For it means that he no longer has any choice to be able to approach the Creator. In other words, the verse, therefore, choose life, was not said about him. Can this be said? However, in work, we should say that a blemish means a lack, meaning lack of faith in the Creator. Thus, all who has a blemish will not approach, meaning cannot approach the Creator. Instead, first he must correct his blemishes, meaning to do good deeds with the aim to be rewarded with faith in the Creator, that he watches over the world as the good who does good. Now we will explain what we asked. Why is it implied that a cup of blessing should be filled with wine? Otherwise, it is not regarded as a cup of blessing. But he says, so man should be whole. But what is the connection between the cup and the man? That if the cup must be full, so should man be whole? The answer is that the cup is the vessel in which the wine is placed. A vessel is called a lack, and the filling enters the lack. Wine is abundance, and with respect to the abundance, there is never a lack, since is anything missing in the king's house? And as it is written, I, the Lord, do not change, meaning that there is never a deficit in the light. Rather, everything depends on the receiving vessels, that they will be complete vessels and not broken ones. As we learned, there was the matter of the breaking of the vessels, where from the breaking of the vessels, the shells emerged. The breaking of the vessels means that just as when a physical vessel breaks, if you place a liquid in the vessel, it all spills out. So it is in spirituality. If the cup, called a vessel, is not full, but the vessel is deficient with respect to the Creator, the abundance exits to the outer ones, namely to the shells. The intimation that the cup must be full means that the cup should be in equivalence of form with the abundance that comes from the giver. And the cup can be full, and the abundance will not go to the outer ones. In order to understand this intimation, they added and said, so men should be whole, and there will be no blemish in him. This is when the cup is called a cup of blessing. In other words, the man who is the vessel that should receive the abundance of the blessing should be whole with the Creator. This means that all of man's concerns should be only about the benefit of the Creator and not about his own benefit. This is called a complete cup, meaning that man should be whole, and then the cup can be full. In other words, if the vessel called cup, implying to the receiving individual, the blessing can be full in the vessel, and it does not spill over from the blessing, meaning the vessel to the outer ones, who are the shells. Rather, everything stays in Kedusha, since this man has no blemish, because a blemish in spirituality means that there is a mixture of the will to receive. If the person has corrected himself from all his blemishes, which is the will to receive for himself, what remains is a cup full of the blessing of the Creator, and no abundance flows out to the external ones. Now we will explain what he says. Ilem, mute, with Yud-Hei, is the letters of Elohim, God, and it is the same number as a cup in Gematria. Hence, the cup must be full. For if you invert the letters of the word Ilem, mute, you find Male, full. We should understand what this implies to us. The Ari explains the name the Lord, Elohim, after the name of the vessel that is fit to receive the abundance called light. He says that the order of the scrutinies is that the sparks and vessels must be raised from Bi'ah to Atzilut for Ibur, impregnation in Ima. At that time, 320 sparks ascend, comprising 32 phases, where each phase comprises 10, thus 320 phases. The shattering occurred because of Malchut, of the quality of judgment that was in each Malchut in each of the 32 paths. Hence the shattering occurred because of this Malchut. Hence, the first correction was that Abba, called Chochmah, sorted and remove the malchut of each phase. This is regarded as removing the malchut in each path, which is called peh, mouth, which is malchut, from which the degree is revealed and shines. This is as he says in the study of the Ten Sefirot, the ubar, embryo, does not speak at all, for it is ilem, mute, from Elohim. Hence, it is mute, devoid of speech. This is the meaning of or who makes him mute. And as it is written in Tas, now, meaning at the time of Yenika, nursing, they will be filled with the letters Yud-Hei and become a complete Elohim, God. We should discern between speech and mute in a work. Speech means revelation. When a person already has the state of yenika in spirituality, and he feels that he is nursing from the kedusha, because nursing the milk indicates chasadim, for the quality of chesed, mercy, is bestowal. When a person is rewarded with vessels of bestowal, meaning that all his actions are for the sake of the Creator, and he has no concerns for his own benefit, this is regarded as being rewarded with the quality of chesed. However, before the yenika, there is ibu, impregnation, meaning that the upper one corrects him. This can be when a person is like an embryo in its mother's womb, where the embryo annuls before the mother and has no view of its own. But, as our sages said, an embryo is its mother's thigh. It eats what its mother eats, and it has no authority of its own to ask any questions. Rather, it does not merit a name. This is called mute, when it has no mouth to ask questions. This is so when a person can go with his eyes shut above reason and believe in the sages and go all the way. This is called ibur, when he has no mouth. Ibur means, as it is written, the level of malchut, which is the most restricted katnut possible, is called ibur. This comes from the words evra, anger, and dinim, judgments. As it is written, and the Lord was impregnated in me for your sake. We should interpret the meaning of anger and judgments. When a person must go with his eyes shut above reason, the body resists this work. Hence, the fact that the person always has to overcome, this is called anger, wrath, and trouble. Since it is hard work to always overcome and annul before the upper one, for the upper one to do with him whatever the upper one wants. This is called ibur, which is the most restricted katnut possible. The correction is, as our sages said, Abba, who is Chokhmah, gives the white, meaning he whitens the lower one from its will to receive. So the person begins to feel that the will to receive is waste. As it is written, though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. At that time, it is considered that his mother gives the red, meaning that Bina is called light of Chassadim, which is the light that comes into the vessels of bestow. That is, once a person has come to know the will to receive for himself is called waste, he receives the will to bestow. All this is considered that the upper one works and the lower one annuls itself without any criticism. This is regarded as having no mouth, and this is called mute, which means that he has no mouth. Afterward come the states of birth and yenika, nursing, suckling. At that time, he already has a mouth, meaning that he has his own authority and he already knows what he's doing. He already has permission to make his own choices, which is regarded as being on his own. This is regarded as receiving ruach, which illuminates when he already has his own authority in Kedusha. But in Ibur, he had only nefesh, from the word nefisha, resting, stillness, meaning still, which has no independent movement, but the upper one moves it in every direction. At that time, he receives a complete name from Elohim, meaning that being in Ibur, Ilem, mute, from Elohim, meaning that he did not have his own authority, so that he will own the work, but rather everything was attributed to the upper one. When he was born and has his own yenika, suckling in yenika, in kedusha, he is a full name of Elohim. This is the intimation that the fact that he was mute from his own perspective before has now become full. That is, he has been rewarded with Yud Hei from Elohim, which implies a complete name, Kap in Gematria, which is the number 4, Elohim, which is 86. And then the cup is full. In other words, when a person has corrected himself into the domain of Kedusha, it is called a complete vessel, and it is called a cup of blessing, meaning that the blessing can already be in it, since the vessel is corrected so that everything that it receives will remain in Kedusha. By this, we understand what it implies that the cup should be filled with wine. It implies to us that the abundance will remain in the vessel and nothing will spill out from there to the outer ones. Rather, everything will be in order to bestow. It follows that when speaking of the mitzvot, it all pertains to branch and root. This is why the cup of blessing must be full, which implies to spirituality, meaning the order of man's work to achieve the purpose of creation.
Man has to reach a state where he believes, he sees, he feels, he accepts that the Creator is the only ruler over all of reality. and that He directs all of reality to a state that is good, that does good. So He can do good, and that state of doing good will be good for the person, for the human. And that's really the goal.
Confidence, any guarantee? I wanted to ask, when there is a lack, let's say for something that is necessary, and you realize that with your hands and legs you won't be able to answer it, and you come to understand that only the Creator can help you, so to be in that state of prayer, you don't know how long it's going to take. It could take a day, it could take a week, it could take much longer. So how do you hold on in that state?
In the prayer, you are facing the Creator. You have a certain contact with Him. You turn to Him. You want or even demand, ask for a response. In the prayer itself, you already have connection with the Creator. It's not that you stand in front of a void and you have no one to hang your prayer onto. If you already have some connection, some belonging to the prayer, then certainly in your prayer there is a
He writes here that he says that all of these all the advice is not for him. He doesn't know what to do. He's in a worse state. He doesn't know how to run away from this state.
Yes.
And Rabash says that at that time the only advice is prayer.
Uh-huh.
Yet this prayer is also without any guarantees, so that he has to believe that the Creator does hear the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
This can only be above reason. So I'm asking, from where does one get the strength when he no longer believes all the advice to come up with such a prayer?
Above reason, you'll find the strength. He'll find the strength above reason.
How?
Find it. When there's nothing and nothing can help, and before you there's no hope, you climb to above reason.
Can?
Yeah.
Ot.
More?
No, David.
Can I get you, Rav?
Correct to say that precisely in that state is the opportunity that a person has to pray above reason. The Creator is now giving him a possibility to truly pray above his reason when he really feels that he has no strength of his own by which to achieve anything. And then his prayer, for the very first time maybe, can be above reason. So this is actually the Creator's help to enable us to rise above reason, is that He doesn't give us any forces.
Right. Yes.
To continue this scrutiny. So what is a spiritual ascent then?
Spiritual ascent is that from a state where he has no strength, he tries to annul himself with his very last strength, and thus the Creator raises. I don't know what's opposite of the feeling, but if a person has nothing more to do, if he has no strength, no beginning of action of his own,
me
And from that state where there's nothing, there's no past, present, future, anything, if he cries to the Creator and only relies on the Creator, and even that he can barely hold on.
Mute. So I wanted to ask if our work is only in a 10, how can one annul himself without any criticism? How can we do it?
Tell me, is it easier with or without criticism?
I'm not looking for what's easy. I'm looking for how to advance.
Yes.
So in order to advance, we need criticism. And then to overcome it. Meaning, the criticism is there. And the will to receive is the opposite, of course. There's no doubt about that. The question is, how, when the criticism appears, how can we not take it into account?
No, not to take it into account at all is not to do any kind of criticism. Rather, to do the criticism and take it into account and then go above the criticism.
How can we go above the criticism?
Even though it's all clear and everything is facing the person, and he sees that he has no other way to do anything, he nevertheless goes above what he sees. Is it his restriction? Tzimtzum?
Yibur, impregnation, is a state where the lower one feels that he is beginning to become depicted, formed in the upper one.
But he also feels separate from the upper one, no?
Yes, and in that he also feels how much he's separated, how much he's the opposite.
So that's why it's called avera, transgression.
It's not avera, transgression, it's evra, anger. Maybe there's another word for it. They say
like anger.
Yeah, anger or difficulty, an effort.
So it's on our part, this effort and difficulty? It's an action that already happens consciously, or what?
Yeah, it is on our part. We're going to feel it. We will feel it. Okay. We have other questions here.
Thank you, Rav. So what does it really mean to go all the way in this entire process?
It's to agree even though you disagree. In each and every step on the way that we have ahead of us, everything that is revealed to you.
It's a state that is before birth, the end of conception and before birth.
It's in each and every state in spirituality that I have to annul before the upper one. The moment that I cannot annul before the upper one, I become an abortion.
So what is the state afterwards where he says that the Creator will be impregnated in me for your sake?
That the Creator is inside of me, and He makes of me a new creation.
Bria chadasha.
A new creation.
that everything that will be received will remain in holiness. The question is, how does a person correct himself to enter the authority of holiness?
By annulling himself all the time. More and more and more. So, in such a way, he comes closer to, in order to bestow.
They ask from Belarus, it is written, and then when a person receives the desire to bestow from the Creator, he becomes whole with the Creator, meaning that he merits equivalence of form, which is called unification. What's the meaning of equivalence of form with the Creator?
As he is merciful, so you are merciful. As he is gracious, so you are gracious. This is called equivalence of form.
From Women Hebrew 3, they ask, what is the state that a person eats waste that is suitable for animals?
It's that he's willing to receive in order to receive, which lowers him from the degree of man to the degree of beast. Animal.
No.
מבלרוס שואלים, איך להיבטל בפני שליטת העליון?
From Belarus, how to nullify before the control of the upper one and nullify during the anger and judgments?
How to overcome the anger and judgments? To annul himself. That's what he has to do.
Да, дорогой Раф, вот это полная чаша между нами в десятке. Что это такое?
This complete cup or quota with between us in the ten, what does that mean?
When we can be together in a single direction.
Киев 3.
Киев 3.
Здравствуйте. Скажите, пожалуйста, правильная реакция на гнев и суды — это покрывать милосердием и оправдывать.
What is the right response to anger and judgments? It's to cover with chassadim and justify these states.
Мы так делаем, хотим покрывать.
When we do that, when we want to cover with the judgments with mercy, is that an awakening from above or it's already a revelation?
It could be both this and that. It depends on the state that we're in.
A
person can receive because it fills him, and a person can bestow and it fills him.
Another question, if I can. I heard that the light of Chassadim always comes with light of Chokhmah clothed in it, if I'm not confusing it.
Well, go on.
So does that mean that these states of seeing anger and judgments in me or the friends, I want to relate to it with chassadim and justify it, and from above I'm given strength to act that way, and that leads to the revelation of spiritual attainment?
Yes.
Спасибо.
Yes.
On his own, can you explain that?
Yeah, it's the fourth or fifth paragraph from the end. Afterwards comes the state of birth and yenika, suckling. At that time, he already has a mouth, meaning he has his own authority, and he already knows what he's doing. He already has permission to make his own choices, which is regarded as being on his own. He's regarded as receiving Ruach, which illuminates when he has his own authority in Kedusha. But in Ibur, he had only Nefesh, from the word Nefisha, resting or stillness, meaning the state of still, which has no independent movement. But the upper one moves it in every action. So there's no awakening on behalf of the lower one. So what is the question?
I thought that the Creator always shakes us and moves us. So what is the nursing in Ika when he suddenly has an authority of his own to make a choice of his own?
Well, this is what he does through all kinds of means. We are always under the control of the Creator, even in the end of correction. However, the question is, how do we discover it and feel it and agree with it?
Thanks. I didn't understand. Abba and Ima are opposite to one another. They're opposite. Ima is Bina, Abba is Chokhmah. And that is why when they want to act together, there's a problem here. They need to work for the sake of some of the third.
Abba is above Ima?
Yes.
So why? It always wants to bestow. Why should it be in the posterior to Ima?
Abba nimtza klapeya Ima.
Abba is towards the Ima in Achoraim, in the posterior. That we need to scrutinize. Ima is in posterior with respect to the Abba. That we also need to scrutinize. Yes? Let's read again item 101. Now we have thoroughly explained the raising of man and the Sefira of Da'at, which are considered the anterior vessels of Zat of Nikudin that were extended and rose to Abba ve'Ima. This is because Abba and Ima received the new light of Ab Sag of Ak from Zon of Ak, in the form of the dot of Shuruk. They lowered the bottom through this bottom hay from their Nikvei Naim of theirs to the Peh. In other words, they entered a state of Gadlut, of adulthood, and raised their posterior vessels, which were fallen in the Zat of Nikudim. As a result, the anterior vessels of Zat, which were attached to the posterior vessels of Vima, and they ascended to, and the Zat of Nikudim became man there. In other words, they brought their deficiency there and returned Abba Vima to being face to face. In other words, they asked Abba and Ima to connect and to help the lower ones, since the bottom hay, which is phase 4, had already returned to her place at the Peh, the coupling by striking, that was done on the screen of phase 4, elicited 10 complete sfirot at the level of Keter in the light of Yechida. Thus, Zat, which are included there as Man, received those great lights of Abba Ve'ima too. Yet all this is only regarded as being from below upward, since Abba Ve'ima are considered the Rosh of Nikudim, where the coupling that elicits ten sefirot from below upward occurs. Subsequently, they also expand into a guf, meaning from above downward. At that time, the Zat were extended with all the lights they had received in Abba Ve'ima to their place below, and the Rosh and Guf of Parzuf Gadlut of Nikudim is completed.
The
Masach there is the Masach of Bchina Bet. Rav says yes.
So where, how does it elicit the Yechida?
No, the zivug is done there in the galut of Bchina Dalet.
Okay, but the screen is the fourth phase. How can the screen of second phase make a coupling over on the lights of this fourth phase?
But if they have the reshimot and they demand, so they will receive what is demanded.
Meaning, in advance, it knows that it's going to pass on lights that it doesn't have the ability to check them.
He didn't know that there isn't. He doesn't have the Rishimot. Where does he have it? If you have never yet mistaken in any place, then you have no knowledge that you're going to make a mistake. But on the contrary, you have, if you have data that you're going to succeed, that you're going for the final correction.
So basically, that's the matter of the shattering. There was a coupling of greater lights than
okay. We'll read 104 again. Regarding the Partsuf of Ta'amim that emerged in the world of Nikudim, which is the first Partsuf in Nikudim, which emerged on the level of Keter, it has already been explained that it emerged with Rosh and Guf. The Rosh emerged in Abba Ve'ima, and the Guf is the expansion of Zat from Peh of Abba Ve'ima down. This expansion from the Peh of Abba Ve'ima downward is called Melech Hadat. And this is indeed the whole of the Zat of Nikudim that expanded once again to their place after the raising of man. But since the root remained in Abba Ve'ima for subsistence and establishing to the face of to face of Abba Ve'ima, called their Moach Hadat, which makes Abba Ve'ima populate, their expansion from above downwards into a guf is also called by that name Melech Hadat. And this is the first
А все же, почему произошло разбиение и что разбилось? Это килим разбились или экран разбился?
Still, why was there a shattering and what broke? Is it the vessels? Is it the screen?
The same masach that was in order to bestow, it shattered and it became, it turned to in order to receive.
Почему разбился экран? Ведь я вот только одного не могу понять. Ведь изначально же был один.
Why did the screen shatter? That I can't understand. To begin with, there was one big screen in Galgalta that was ready over all the 4 degrees of courses. Why did it break at some point later in a more advanced state in Nikudim?
That we will learn because there were large lights and small vessels.
Так, Раф, вот извините, но там ведь под табур потом опускается же свет бины, то что значит большие
света? But below tabu goes the light of binas. What does it mean, big lights? Since the screen there, it seems that it didn't couldn't manage with the light of sag coming down below the tabu. But why didn't it manage this light, or bina couldn't give this big vessels?
Please. One law for all the worlds. Although the wisdom of Kabbalah mentions nothing of our corporeal world, there is still only one law for all the worlds, as written in the article, the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Thus, all the corporeal entities in our world, that is, everything within that space, be it still vegetative, animate, a spiritual object, or a corporeal object, If we want to distinguish the unique self of each of them, how they differ from one another, even in the smallest particle, it amounts to no more than that desire to receive. This is its entire particular form from the perspective of the generated creation, limiting it in quantity and quality. As a result, there is an attracting force and a rejecting force in it. Yet, anything that exists in it besides these two forces is regarded as the bounty from his essence. That bounty is equal for all creatures and presents no innovation with respect to creation as it extends existence from existence. Also, it cannot be ascribed to any particular unit, but only to things that are common to all parts of creation, small or large. Each of them receives from that the bounty according to the limit of its will to receive, and this limit defies each individual and unit. Thus, I've evidently, from a purely scientific perspective, proven the self-ego of every individual in a scientific, completely criticism-proof method, even according to the system of the fanatic, automatic materialists. From now on, we have no need for those lame methods dipped in metaphysics. And of course, it makes no difference whether this force of the will to receive is a result and a fruit of the material that had produced it through chemistry, or the material is a result and a fruit of that force. This is because we know that the main thing is that only this force imprinted in every being and atom of the will to receive within its boundaries is the unit by which it is separated and distinguished from its environment. This applies to both a single atom or a group of atoms called a body. All other discernments in which there is more than that force are not related in any way to that particle or group of particles with respect to itself, but only with respect to the whole, which is the bounty extended to them from the Creator, which is common to all parts of creation together without distinction of specific created bodies. Now we will understand the matter of the freedom of the individual according to the definition of the first factor, which we called the source, where all previous generations, which are the fathers and forefathers of that individual, have imprinted their nature. As we have clarified, the meaning of the word individual is but the boundaries of the will to receive imprinted in its group of molecules. Thus you see that all the tendencies he has inherited from his ancestors are indeed no more than boundaries of his will to receive, either related to the attracting force in him or to the rejecting force in him, which appear before us as tendencies to stinginess or generosity, a tendency to mingle with people or to be a hermit, and so on. Because of this, they really are his self-ego fighting for its existence. Thus, if we eradicate even a single tendency from that individual, we are regarded as cutting off an actual organ from his essence. It is also considered a genuine loss for all creation, since there is no other like it, nor will there ever be someone like him in the world, in the whole world. After we have thoroughly clarified the just right of the individual according to the natural laws, let us turn and see just how practical it is, without compromising the theory of ethics and statesmanship, and most important, how this right is applied by our holy Torah.
הוא מתאר פה איזה שהם שתי מציאויות, אחת של...
He describes here two realities. He says even the greater all its form of that will to receive limits it in quality and quantity.
Yes.
Can we describe reality as Kabbalists see it, that everything are desires that are separated in quality and quantity? What's that image that Kabbalists see?
How can you describe it? How can you depict it?
מסתכל על המציאות.
כן.
הוא מרגיש אותה כהכל כוחות.
Kabbalist, he looks at reality.
Yes.
And he feels that all is desires, desires, desires.
Yes.
Are they separate from one another?
From being different.
And what? What holds these desires, these forces?
What do you mean hold? Sustains them?
Yeah, what sustains them?
The Creator?
There's a force called the Creator.
The abstract upper light, we can call it, that sustains all these forces on its own.
And this relation between this light and these desires, what? It fills it surrounds it, what?
Makes everything in order to bring them to identify with him.
Meaning the system is in constant movement to reach identification with him.
Yes.
These forces that a Kabbalist see, these are desires that have two forces, reception and bestowal.
Or שיש רצונות במערכת שהם רק קבלה.
Or are there desires in the system that are only reception? Or only bestowal?
The question is,
there
are all of them, these two forces act in the intention in order to bestow.
שני כוחות שברצון מסוים.
The two forces that are under a certain desire.
Yes.
They both work with the intention in order to bestow. So it's a certain portion that it corrected itself.
Yes.
And there are desires in the system that work only with intention in order to receive.
In the meantime.
And then he says that there is no path. There is no gap between this force of the will to receive, that either the matter is a result of this force or vice versa.
So what are you asking?
How is this clothing of reality that we see, how is that clothed?
That's something you won't know.
And that's why I'm asking you.
That's a question. How does the corporeal and the spiritual clothe on one another?
How does this clothe on matter, this desire, this reality of desires?
You won't get an answer, because you have to discover it.
Why? Is there an answer?
Only for the one who discovers.
He says there is no. He says that the matter is a result of this force. Can matter influence these forces, or is it one directional? Only these forces influence matter.
So what does he answer?
No. From what I understand, he says it can be both.
So? Just like you understand it.
He says there's no gap if the desire of the will to receive is a result of matter. How can that be? How can this matter influence how can it influence it?
That's something you have to discover. It's only revealed within a person.
Okay. Tov toda.
Okay, thank you.
He doesn't write that.
He writes that the force implemented in every creation and atom, the will to receive in its boundaries, is the only aspect that's separated in and of itself.
Yes.
So what's he writing?
Read it again.
We have known that only this force, which is in every creation an atom of the will to receive in its boundaries, is the only aspect in which he is separated and in and of itself.
Yes. Only the will to receive, that's what we can feel, work with it, turn to it, etc.
It's not clear.
As much as you understand. Meaning the will to receive itself is something we don't yet understand.
What is mutual? There is something mutual, it is something separate.
There is something mutual and there is something separate. That's true. What's common is the will to receive between all of creation. What's different is the difference that there is between the Creator and all the created beings.
From attaining the separate, do we attain the mutual?
Not necessarily.
We
don't have the vessels for that in the meantime.
It's like you said that we don't attain the will to receive. So if we attain it in its separate form, will we then attain its mutual form?
Possibly. We have to work on that. And until we feel in us new vessels are born accordingly, we will be able to feel, to understand, to distinguish between our new vessels, where we can research creation. In the meantime, we can't investigate, we can't research creation. And we don't have the ability. Through what? How can I approach creation, understand it, or feel it? We don't have with what? Only under the condition that I feel in me what the will to receive is, what the will to bestow is, what's the difference between the two, what's common between them. And if so, I may come close to nature. Otherwise, no. The Creator wants to give us the will to bestow. In the meantime, we're rejecting it. We don't want to receive. We do not want to receive from the Creator the will to bestow. So how can we advance?
So how will we advance?
We're continuing as much as we can, hoping that the Creator will have mercy. There's no other chance.
Okay.
Soon we're going to have a Congress. We'll connect strongly, knowing that we have no choice, but in the connection between us, can we find that force that will explain to us everything, connect us, and so we'll break through. Yes.
In
relation to the convention, 10 days from now, I wanted to ask about it. I see that we come every morning and we read a Rabash article. And I feel that getting benefit from the article depends, and also being inspired, it also depends on the renewal of my vessels that takes place in our preparation in the tent. That as long as I'm filled with something that I had before, I'm not able to connect to the light that goes through the article. And the same question about the convention. How do we, in the ten, renew our vessels to come to the convention and to receive from it what it truly wants to give? How do I renew my preparation for this reception?
Only connection. We have to renew the connection between us every moment in a way that the form of connection, the force of connection will all the time will show me new things that weren't there before or will seem to me as new, not like before. And before they're shown to me as new, I have to understand that I don't understand anything, I'm not connected to anything, and there's no chance to reach an understanding or a feeling about spirituality, etc. And this is why, if we talk about the situation as we have today, that almost 3 hours, 2.5 hours, we've been, but we seemingly have no feeling that we've attained anything and advanced towards something that's actually a good state.
We learned this morning that the cup needs to be filled with a blessing, and only if I'm empty, then I can fill this full cup that's filled with a blessing. So I'm asking how to be empty in a healthy way towards the convention. How can I prepare my tent to come with yearning, with inspiration, renewed towards this convention?
We're learning that all of the attainment has to come to the opposite form, the opposite. And the more extreme these two states are, the more we attain, both in quantity and in quality. This right phenomenon. Let's hope we'll do that. let's hope we'll attain.